B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
3:03, Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corpley's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit is good. Coming up at 4 o'clock, the Trust the Contest 5K Day Cash giveaway, and also Brian Westbrook to talk some NFL football playoff. We'll have our selections. You know, I'm thinking that if you dumped, could it be an upset? Like, could you be safe dumping a lot of money on a money line both these games? You smell an upset somewhere?
At the Packers, possibly.
You think the Packers can win that game?
They can win the game. I don't know if they will, but they can. I would stay away. To me, that's a stay away for me on the money line. I don't think there's any way, and I know Andy Reid, blah, blah, blah. I think the Chiefs win the game. I'm confident that the Chiefs win the game.
That's a good money line play.
That's where I would play, do the money line play, personally. In fact, that's where I will.
Do you play Packers with points?
I think so.
I think it's a good play.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I think those are my two plays, and aren't they? When we get to McClaws and Locke,
we'll get to them, yeah.
Yeah,
Brian sent me his picks. I think he disagrees with you at least on one.
Oh, he does?
At least on one.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens there. Let's get back to the phones, talk to John in Newcastle. John, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. John.
Hey, Michael.
What's up, John?
Hey, man, that list you made, you were reading over that list, that's depressing, isn't it? Oh, my God.
Everybody thought these guys could play.
You know what makes me laugh, too?
The average fan.
You could make a list of 100 of just the Phillies. I was thinking in my head, now I'm going old school here, but remember they'd always bring up a guy like Wally Ritchie and tell us he could pitch.
Yeah.
Crap like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How close was Kim Basinger to making your list the other
day? I forgot about her.
Yeah, she's on.
She's been an all-timer of mine for a while. Yeah, I forgot completely about her.
That's funny, because when you were making your list up, and I was watching the show, I was like, she'll be on it.
Yeah, she should have been. I'll probably zip Patsy Kensit off there in favor of Kim Basinger. But I thought Patsy was like an under-the-radar.
But here's my thing on your 2020, your teams, okay. Flyers will be ready in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get off of the Drew and Voracek money and maybe add a superstar. They got to make the playoffs for a couple years as a low seed, and they'll be ready to go in 2023.
I can buy that.
For the Cup.
I definitely can buy that.
Yeah. But Eagles 2022, we need two more off seasons of drafting youth and speed and drafting strictly SEC players for the next two drafts. And I think they'll be ready to go in 2 years. Football's a funny sport.
Yeah, I can buy that, too. I can buy that. So you're saying the Flyers 3 years, Eagles 2 years.
Yeah, 2023 Flyers, 2022 Eagles, Phillies 2022. I like what Tyrone said. Mm-hmm. He'll miss the playoffs this year. He'll have to spend money. He's just going to realize he's going to have to spend money. You could see a guy like Betts here. I think you'll see Nola, Wheeler, a guy like Spencer Howard, and another big arm, another big acquisition. I'm saying Phillies 2 years, 2022.
All right. I like it.
The thing that frustrates me about the Phillies is, I will say this, the Red Sox had the highest tax payment this year. It was $12 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Phillies make $12 million on Dollar Dog Night by the fifth inning.
I agree with you. I don't understand this reluctance to this salary cap scares a rich man so much when they have saved a ton of money in the past. You know, like their payroll for 5 years was like under 100 million there at one point, wasn't it?
Yes, way under.
You can't complain about going under salary cap now.
And the luxury tax isn't like the NBA with the dollar for dollar and the repeater.
Yeah.
It's like 12 cents on the dollar. It's a much lower figure. It's not like the NBA's. It's just not. And he treats it like it's the NBA, where he's like, no. It makes no sense that they're going to go in doing the thing you told them not to do with that infield. This guy at third base and then another guy later and this guy and that guy.
And they're doing the same thing.
Yeah. And look at this. You don't have enough arms. We could have lived with just Eflin because he probably earned the fifth spot. But now we got Velasquez and Eflin and Pivetta all still around. Like, how's that happen?
Mm-hmm. Mike in Jersey. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Talking about your two championships and
Mm-hmm. And by 2020, it's not going to come out. I'm depressed. It's not going to come out that way.
No, it's not. And then, first of all, Colangelo screwed it up with Fultz is as soft as a bowl of mashed potatoes. I don't care. I don't care. He had a triple double with LeBron on the court. Like, he's terrible.
The selection of him obviously was a colossal mistake.
But you know what I worry about? I need the Eagles to draft well this year. We need to come up with a starting corner and a starting wide receiver.
I think they will actually get both.
You think?
Yeah, they desperately have to get those two positions.
They have to.
Yeah,
and really we need a linebacker too.
They got to shake up the whole linebacking core. They only got one left, really.
That's what I worry about most about the Eagles is this, out of all the four teams, I like the Eagles. It's Eagles, Sixers, Phillies, Flyers for me.
You like the Eagles to win before the Sixers?
No, I'm saying that's who I like the most.
Oh.
I was depressed for 2 days. When they lost to the Seahawks,
This is an Eagle town. Your order is probably what the majority thinks,
right? So I just need them to come through because we have a lot of draft picks. I think they might have to go receiver early because even though we have a lot of picks, a lot of teams are in need of receivers. So I think we really need to go. You know, whether it's, I don't know if Ruggs will be there or Jefferson from LSU.
Somebody will be there. The best remaining receiver will be there if they're going to go the receiver. Excuse me.
You all right?
Yeah. I got a little stomach situation there.
Yeah, once.
All right, so let's go. Gary in Wilkes-Barre. Gary, you're on 97.5 The Fact.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Hey, I just wanted to bring up a point that's been bugging me since Markelle Fultz was on the team. I'm not a big Markelle Fultz fan, so I don't really care if he's here or not. But the one thing I do want to defend him with is the fact that he hit Joel in the face with his right shoulder so hard he broke the man's face. And Joel was probably, almost like 290 then? And you didn't tell me that nothing was wrong with Markelle's shoulder? And nobody, I mean, I listened to The Jump, I listened to ESPN, Fox, I listened to you guys. Huh? Nobody ever mentioned that injury, you know? And it kind of bugged me for a long time that, you know, everybody's picking on the guy. And he didn't know what the heck was wrong with his shoulder. I mean, he broke Joel's face with it, you know? And that's the main reason I was calling. I just had to get that out.
So what are you saying, that we were unfair to Markelle Fultz? I mean, they gave him up.
No, not the way the team. I just think that his injury wasn't diagnosed right away. I mean, you hit a 280-pound man in the face with your shoulder. You break
his face. He also had a dirt bike accident.
Well, then on top of that, then, yeah, I mean.
Before that happened, he had a dirt bike accident. I also think the mental part played into it because I think that he just didn't let it loose after that, and mentally it just closed down on him. But my point is, how long could you afford to wait? He was killing your team.
Playing,
you know, people are looking at it now like, oh, that was a mistake to get rid of him. Look what he's doing now. Like, at the time, you had to get rid of him. You had to move. It wasn't going to happen here for the kid.
And I just want to, on Furkan, all I want to say is, who's a better defender, him or JJ?
I don't know. They both stink.
I think Furkan is. At least he tried.
That's not true!
What? I don't know. I can't pick I don't have a horse in that race.
JJ.
JJ? I don't know.
It's close, but JJ's a veteran. So he knew how to play positional defense. Now, Korkmaz on defense. Listen, he made some shots. I'm liking how he's speaking. Stop with no
defense. Furkan is thinking that he's a decent transporter of the basketball on the bounce lately.
Have
you noticed this?
Yes. I don't like it as much.
No, I don't like a little bit. Because he's throwing up feeble stuff at the basket when he does that.
Yeah. He has soft hands, and I see what he thinks. He needs a go-to move. And just stick with that go-to move. Because he has that little floater in his bag, it looks like.
Yeah.
Stick with that. Because when he does the other stuff, that's when the turnovers happen and the dribbling off his foot and getting swallowed up at the... No, throw that floater. That's your go-to move. Stick with that move.
Mm-hmm.
That move works.
He has an amazing ability to have people forget his bad plays, though.
Yep.
Like, he makes a three, and everybody has selective memory about how he messed up in the first half.
Yeah, one time, he was like minus 18 in the game. Was like 0 for 6 from 3. And but made a layup. And we ripped him. And they said Crystal and I were racist.
Really?
Picking on the white man. It's like, what?
Picking on the Turk.
Yeah, I was like, and he was minus 18. I'm not picking on him. If he plays well, you say he plays well, but he plays bad.
Picking on the Turk, man. He can't be doing that.
I'm picking on the Turk. I'm picking on
him. Because, you know, when he plays with Ben, the Ben. He's got a comfort zone out there.
When I play with the Ben.
Loke in Gainesville. Loke, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Loke.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Loke?
Ain't nothing, man. Chilling. Hey, Mike, what's up with people call you Eminem, man? That's like the worst nickname for you, bro.
Well, that's my initials.
Yeah, but it sucked, though. You're not an Eminem.
It doesn't bother me that much. My first and last name start with an M. That's why they say Eminem.
Oh, all right. If you like it, I love it. All right.
I never even thought about it. But it's not bad. Well, I'm not a little chocolate candy. It's just my initials.
Yeah, all right. It's kind of cheesy, Carney. It's cool, though. Eminem.
All right.
But no, I just wanted to call because I've been watching the Sixers, man. They just suck, bro. Like, it's horrible to watch them. They got no pizzazz, no flash. They just suck.
Well, they don't suck.
They're not as good as they should be, though.
Well, you're probably right, but I don't think that they're an Eastern Conference championship team, but they don't suck.
I mean, no, look.
And that could change very easily if they add a player, so.
No, they can get through the East the way they are right now.
No, they can't.
But they can't win the championship.
They can't they can't get through the East with this team.
You don't think so?
No.
Perfect with Milwaukee.
No.
All right. Well, look. Before we argue about that, let me give you four suggestions just to get this team on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First one. I know it's too late to fire Brett. We can't fire Brett. It's too late. They have to point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say hire a special advisor. You can still do that. You're not firing Brett, but you can kind of slowly push him out the door. If you hire somebody above him to advise him on and evaluate our team, like to tell him, like, hey, this is what I see, because the eyes in the building, I don't trust them right now.
Well, you don't trust Elton Brand?
I don't trust Elton. He's a new GM. No, I don't. And okay. He didn't construct it. The team is, like, he got players, but the parts don't match.
Well, don't you think Elton Brand sees that?
Don't I think Elton Brown sees what?
That the parts don't match? That they need to do more?
Yeah, but he's a new GM, though. He doesn't have any clout as a general manager.
What do you mean he doesn't have any clout? What does that mean? He's the one's got to make the trades and acquire the players.
No, but that's what I'm saying. They need to hire a special advisor. Like, the person that popped into my brain was like, I don't know what Larry Brown is doing right now. I grew up on Larry Brown. Uh-huh. He's a great coach.
Yeah.
But if Larry Brown just took a look at the offense, maybe gave Brett Brown some pointers. Just to put the team in the right direction, I think that would go a long way.
Yeah, I don't think they have anybody looking over the shoulder.
All right. Okay. Real quick, before you cut me off. All right, number two.
Mm-hmm.
The Sixers, they should be playing more positionless basketball. So the special thing about this team is that four of their five starters can bring the ball down the court. I've seen Horford do it. I know Josh Richardson can do it. I know Ben can do it. And Tobias can do it at times. So they should be playing more a positionless brand of basketball. It doesn't matter who's posting up. It doesn't matter who's bringing the ball down. Just get the ball down the court, initiate the offense. Anybody can do that in our starting five, except for Embiid.
Well, how do you play positionless basketball in a half-court offense?
No, I mean bring the ball down the court. Horford can bring the ball down.
No, that's what they do. That Ben brings the ball down the court.
No, but when you put Ben Simmons in a box like that, you limit him. So if you say, Ben, you're only a point guard, Ben is so much more than just a point guard. He can play every single position on the court. So when you put him in a box and say, Ben, you're the point guard, just do point guard things, you're missing out on so much more talent.
Yeah, I don't even know what the hell that means. What is he saying?
That was a bad call. I think none of that made sense. The senior advisor, he doesn't give a name.
He said Larry Brown.
Larry Brown, who's, like as Booney points out, his offense was give it to AI. He did tons of defensive stuff.
Sterling offensive coach.
No, his defense, and their defense is far from the problem right now. They don't need defensive help, and they don't need an advisor. And if you don't have a name, and this position at basketball thing, yeah, that's fine. But Ben Simmons doesn't shoot, so he has to have a position. If Ben was shooting a three ball, then sure, have Tobias bring it up and have Ben spot up in the corner and run some action because you have to guard Ben. Yep. You don't have to guard Ben because he doesn't shoot. So he has to have the ball the majority of the time. Like, this isn't difficult. We're making this difficult. Until Ben shoots, he has to have the ball. The minute he becomes a threat to shoot, then you can get more creative because when he catches it, he can catch and shoot. But right now when he catches it, it's a layup or a pass because he doesn't shoot. This isn't hard.
Mike in Creekside, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. Mike.
How are you doing, gentlemen? Let me cut my speaker off.
What's up, Mike?
Yeah. I wish y'all would leave Ben Simmons alone. He is a scorer. Ben Simmons.
Yeah, we got it.
All right, leave him alone. I wish he would shoot more from the floor jump shots, but it would help his game. But it does not take anything away from what he's doing with the 76ers. He is a point guard, and he is the type of point guard that Brett Brown wanted because he's tall. He had all them other ones, Markel Fultz and everybody else that he traded away, first rounders.
Yeah,
because they were too short. This is the player.
No. Listen, he did want Ben as a point guard, but he also wants Ben to do other things. I mean, he's talked about over the last several weeks what he wants Ben to do. He wants him to shoot more threes.
But Ben is scoring. How many? If one time y'all sit down there and check his stats against everybody else is on there. And Ben either is going to be number one or number two. Now, as the old saying goes, y'all will miss your well when the water runs dry. And so I wish people would just leave him alone, let him play his game. Yes, like I said, I would like to see him because it would...
Yeah, well, here's the problem, Mike. His game isn't good enough to lift this team to a great height. And that's why people... No, it's not. It's not. He needs to be a 25-point a game scorer.
Well, the guys that shoot threes.
Listen to me. He is a dominant enough player to be able to score 25 points a game every night in this league.
Okay, could you answer me one question?
Mm-hmm.
Was Maurice Cheeks a number one scorer, or did he just bring the ball?
You're kidding me with that, right? They had four other scorers around them.
Well, that's what the problem is.
That's why he has to score more, because he doesn't have Doc and Andrew Toney. Get out of here. I can't take you.
You lose. Good day,
that's the
sir.
Point. He doesn't have enough around him to just be a distributor. That's why he needs to step up the game and add more offense to make up for the lack of offense that they have. Maurice Cheeks. Seriously? Come on.
This day and age.
Good Lord. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:30 is getting up there in our Twitter poll today. Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock. And by the way, the 5K day contest coming up at 4. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Tyler Zoli.
So our Twitter poll today is, Mike, you predicted two titles by 2020, but you don't feel that way anymore. So we already have one with the Eagles. When do we get our second title? Our options are 2020, 2021, 2022, or later. So just under 1,000 votes, and longer still leads at 39%. That followed up by 2021 with 26%, and then 2022 at 22%. Not a lot saying this year, though.
Yeah, well, I was wrong. 2020, I was close to being a visionary. Okay. And then the Sixers happened.
I don't know if the Sixers happened just yet. See, I'm not there.
I know you're not.
Yeah, I'm not. It's January. I haven't decided anything has been decided in January. Raptors got very lucky last season.
I'm looking at the team in their current form and making this decision. Again, this the caveat is they add somebody that can give them some points off the bench, and I'd have a different look at it. But you're telling me right now you see this team good enough to win the East?
Possibly. Yeah. I can't rule it out. No, because I do think last year and this year they match up well with the Bucks. I do think they match up well in a seven-game series, even if the Bucks have home court. I think they match up well. They're maybe the only team that can have three different guys guard Giannis. No other team can say that in the East. Not even close. Okay. Nope. Have Embiid, Horford, and
Ben. Score.
All right.
The Bucks have guys that can score from all corners.
Not as many as you think. Those guys can be gotten to. Those guys all work off of him. If you shut him down, you take the whole thing down. The Sixers don't have the best player, but they have the second, third, and fourth best player in that series.
Okay. Jerome in Elkins Park. You're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jerome.
Hey, Mike.
What's up,
Tyrone,
Jerome?
And the other guy, I forget his name.
Tyler.
Okay, Tyler. Yeah, Tyler. You're in there, too. Mike,
yes,
did I hear you correct that Ben Simmons was politicking to be an all-star?
Ben Simmons on his Instagram account is touting his statistics, and yes, how he should be an all-star.
Okay, BS. Okay. You keep going with that,
okay,
all right?
BS.
That's his initials, isn't it?
So, yes, he is doing that, and yeah. Apparently he believes that his numbers are good enough.
Thing, huh? It don't smell? No. He must have listened to you comparing him to Giannis. And that's another thing that's another, you know, outwardly pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't take and give up on the Sixers. And that means I can't take, when I say give up, I can't allow Ben Simmons to determine that he's going to be what he thinks he should be.
Mm-hmm.
When we know it's not the way it should be.
Okay, so what are you going to do about it?
Well, I'm going to, you know, since you can take and set up things for him in the first half to be the center of the offense, I'm going to take and force him to be in the third and fourth period, be the center of the offense, whether or not he feels as though, you know, he's mentally restricted there or not. You talked about pizzazz, and I feel the same way. The Sixers are kind of like, and this is, Tyrone's going to go, this is negative. But it's what it is. You know, they're kind of a plotting. There's nothing to get, you know, excited about. He doesn't understand that even if he just takes, I'm not talking threes. I'm talking about at 6'10", shooting, you know, that 10, 15-footer, are forcing issues to get foul and get to the foul line. If a team has momentum, that time of stoppage takes him could possibly break that down. I'm more excited about seeing whether Maurice Thybulle is going to develop into something, and I feel more confident that he will do these other things, like to get a stop-and-pop jumper type of thing off the dribble, or whether Pell can stay with the team. And, I mean, what does that say? What does that say about our all-star?
Matisse is not ready to do that yet.
No. But I'm more excited about seeing that.
Yeah, Pell stinks.
Well, I wouldn't go stinks.
Come on.
I wouldn't go stinks.
He has no idea what he's doing on offense. He's just a guy who will give him energy and block a couple shots, but can't rely on him to do anything notable.
If he comes in and does what he's supposed to do, everybody contributes in the way they can.
Yeah, I get it. I just don't think it's enough offense. That's all my whole thing.
It isn't. And if some way, somehow, they take and make some kind of deal, because, look, I don't get in projecting as far as whether it's going to be 2020, 2021, 2022. Mm-hmm. That's where that's a thing. That's a mental chaos thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have control over what it would be. I mean, right now, for me, and I've said it before, I've called you many times, I'd say even before this started, and you were going 20 games to go. I said, no, you have to stomp in that ass and get some progress. So now here we are. I mean, I just wonder why it is that when I look at games on the NBA, I see other teams and I say, why do I feel more excited when I see players move the ball around and they know, where they want to go and how they can score the ball?
I hear you. I don't know what to tell you. Like, Matisse Thybulle could be a decent player. I don't know what his ceiling is. He's a nice defensive player, and he's a very good complementary player. I don't know that he's going to be able to score a lot, and he's certainly not going to be able to do that now. He'll make an occasional three. He's not going to make several in a row. Like Shamit, a couple of years ago, could make several in a row, and he got excited, and he got on a real roll. That's not the type of shooter Matisse Thybulle is. He'll make a couple.
No, but he gives you way more on defense than Shaq.
Yeah, no, he does. He's a very good defensive player, and he's got to be on the floor. He's going to have significant minutes. I'm just talking about putting the ball in the basket to match other teams the way they put it in the basket. Now, I'm looking at the Bucks, and I'm looking at their three-point shooting. Giannis, as bad as he is, shoots 33%. Middleton's a 41% three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Brook Lopez will make him. He's not making a great percentage this year. Bledsoe, 36%. Wesley Matthews, 36%. That's league average, but it's better than what the Sixers are doing. Dante DiVincenzo, a little below the league average. George Hill, at 52% from three.
That's why he's better than Bledsoe, and they don't realize it.
So Korver, 42. So they've got guys that will fire. That's my point.
Yeah, and
how many Sixers
those guys
don't have guys that can fire? So you're eventually going to have to match them. I hear what you're saying about them stopping Giannis. But if you're stopping Giannis, they got guys that can make shots.
Can't get them the ball. How many of those guys get their own shot that you name?
No, they don't Lopez get their own shot, but so you shot. Pass out of double teams.
That's where I completely disagree with you. They don't have enough guys that get their own shot either.
All right.
It all goes from the head. You shut him down. Okay. Those guys aren't good enough to get their own shots. Korver can't get his own shot anymore. Hill can get his own shot. Bledsoe, mediocre.
So you're saying that no one else in the league can stop them. That's why they're so good. Stop him. That's why they're so good. But the Sixers can stop him, and that's why they have a shot.
They slow him. They can slow him down, I think, four
they're
out of
37
seven
37 and six.
Yeah, they're a very good team. One of the Sixers to the Sixers.
All right. Ed in Wilmington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Mike, I don't think you should be too down on your predictions. I think the Sixers and the Flyers both make the playoffs, and I think the thing that we have in our favor is how young they are.
Well, they are young, but my point is there's not going to be a championship in 2020, an additional one that I predicted. They're young, and they're eventually going to win. It's not going to be 2020, though.
They're going to get better. Ben, I would not get rid of Ben, and I would not get rid of the head coach. I agree with you. You just can't call a coach anymore in the NBA. I think he's going to rah-rah-rah these guys. And Ben's only going to get better, and it's better that he's with the Sixers than anybody else.
I hope you're right, bro.
And you know what, Mike?
Yeah, he's not going to get better quick enough for me to say the Sixers are going to win a title. That's the problem.
I know that. But he is going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's inevitable. But, Mike, the Astros had it coming. I don't know why I didn't like that team, and now I do.
You like the Astros now because they cheated?
I did not.
Oh, you did not.
I like the Nationals. And now I do know why, because they cheated. And I agree with you that baseball, cheating is part of the deal, but I listened to Jason yesterday. I kind of agree with him. It's kind of a big deal, but in today's world, it'll be gone in 24 or 48 hours.
Yeah, I can't even tell. Maybe the Washington Nationals cheated, too. Who knows? Maybe they if these are the only teams that are doing it, everybody has the technology available to them. These are
what do you do, Mike? I mean, do you actually start going after players?
First of all, you take this monitor away that they look at the replay. It's the silliest thing ever. But by your eyeballs, if you want to challenge something, then challenge it. Second of all, you're going to have an electronic pulse through the pitcher. So
no.
Yeah. So you're going to have to do. You're going to have to let a little buzzer. You know, the manager's going to have to tap something in the dugout.
It's not baseball.
It's got to be wireless.
Have a good weekend.
All right. It's not baseball. Baseball's gotten sophisticated to the point where there's sophisticated methods that take advantage of technology to cheat. Yeah. So, you know, the only thing you worry about there is you steal the wireless signal.
Well, you can
hack it.
You can do different things, but they baseball now's the time. If you're all cheating, now how about, like Jason said, no more fingers, no more rotary phone to call to the bullpen, no more walks to the mound either. Let's go. Now that the gloves are off, there's no reason to deal with tradition if you're just allowed to do all this cheating. And you're co-signing the cheating, so you should co-sign some of these technological adjustments. Just hold up a number, let's get a new picture, and let's go.
They hold up signs, like the football guys on the side, like pictures of Donald Duck.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Like stuff like that.
Everybody looks over. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, they go up to the line and race, and then they go, the whole team looks over to the sidelines.
Yeah.
There's a picture of you.
And then somebody else, third base coach, got to have something.
Rocky Balboa puts up there.
Yeah, I love it. This time, I think that would add a little wrinkle of fun, too. And it doesn't affect the game. It doesn't bastardize the game, because you're still pitching. It's not like doing the start a runner on second or all that crap. It's just do something different at this point. If you're going to be doing all that cheating, have fun. I would enjoy the game a little bit more.
All right. 610-622-0975. Eagles have interviewed Graham Harrell for their offensive coordinator. For Texas Tech quarterback, right?
Yeah.
He's the current USC offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Graham Harrell has been interviewed for the offensive coordinator position.
Not on his face, would not hate it. I think he's an innovator. He comes from that leech tree.
Yep.
And most of the leech guys know how to do offense.
All right. We'll see where that goes. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.349 Mike Mussell Show. It's 97.5 Fanatic. Friday show, special Football Friday coming up. Brian Westbrook will join us. Also, the 5K a day at 4 o'clock. We'll give our selections. We really haven't talked about these particular matchups. And here's what I will say as far as my rooting interest goes. Because a lot of people who root for Andy Reid. I would root for Andy Reid against the Packers because I don't like Aaron Rodgers anymore. He bugs me. He's a little snarky lately.
But you wouldn't root for him.
If he played the 49ers, I'd root for the 49ers.
Yeah, I can't root for the 49ers no matter what.
I think I like their story of the way they've come up and arrived. I like the fact that they play good defense. You wouldn't root for him because you hate Jimmy G.
It's not just that. I also left out the coach.
Because he took a porn star to dinner.
Yeah, that was stupid by him. But the other thing is, I don't like the nepotism coaches.
You like the nepotism coaches?
I don't like the nepotism coaches. So that takes any Shanahan.
Schottenheimer.
Any Schottenheimers, any of those. Any Gibbs.
Or good job, Shanahan.
Yeah,
Well, he's got John Lynch there.
Lynch has done a good job. Uh-huh. Didn't like John Lynch when he was a player.
I like the 49ers story a little better than the Chiefs. But
not
I
agree
for the Chiefs
guy.
To beat Green Bay because I don't like Aaron Rodgers.
The only team left I can really stomach. Well, I don't hate the Packers. I don't mind Rodgers.
Yeah, he's too snarky lately.
Don't like the former Patriots coach in Vrabel.
Why don't you like him?
He's a cheater. Yeah, I can't have that. So Titans, I hope, get blown out. There's really no, I can only root for Andy. And yeah.
I think Titans are getting blown out. Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kev?
I just want to talk about that Markelle Fultz draft. But first, I'll make a quick point about the guy who called in and said that the Sixers suck, but they can get through the Eastern Conference. Well, if they get through the Eastern Conference, then they don't suck.
That's true.
Come on, now.
That's very true.
Now, okay, about the Markelle Fultz draft.
Mm-hmm.
Boston had the number one pick. I remember I wanted Tatum. I thought that he was the more talented
mm-hmm.
player.
Mm-hmm.
But my question to you is, when they made the trade, is it agreed upon that Philly has to take Markelle Fultz? When they made the trade, because...
No. They Boston knew they wanted Fultz. So they knew they were going to be able to sit there and take Tatum. Because the Lakers are ready to announce they're going to take Lonzo Ball.
Right. So the Sixers had no chance of getting Tatum because they
could have picked him over Fultz, but they were all they were set with Fultz. Their evaluation said that Fultz was the guy, and a lot of the evaluations in mock drafts had Fultz being taken number one. So it wasn't like a shock that they took him there.
Right.
It just didn't turn out. It just didn't work. Jason Tatum turned out to be a better player. Now, Josh Jackson stinks. He went fourth.
Right.
So you never know. I like De'Aaron Fox in that draft. He's turned out to be a pretty good player.
Yeah. Well, I like the Tatum, but we all know how that turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mike. All right, Mike.
All right, bud. Yeah, all you right. got No, there wasn't a wink-wink. We'll trade it to you as long as you don't take Tatum. At least that was never reported. Mark in Belmar. Mark, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Mark.
What's up, Mike?
Mark? How you doing?
I'm all right. Actually, driving back to school in Florida right now. I called you when I was in Delaware, but now I'm in Virginia.
Long trek down to Florida. Whereabouts in Florida?
I go to the University of Tampa, so I'm driving back to Tampa about 14 hours ago.
Very nice.
I kind of feel bad for you, man. I feel like last year the Sixers could have did it. You could have looked like Houdini and called the two chips in 2020.
Everybody was lauding me, man, because they thought it was going to happen.
Yeah,
you know how big I would have been had that happened?
Yeah, you would have been. I mean, you're the man, but you would have really been the man.
Yeah, I know. I would have been rest.
But for our championships in the city,
Nostradamus.
I feel like, I feel like more 23-24 range. I really don't. The Phillies are sickening. I mean, when it comes to, you're talking about pitchers and catchers are reporting. I mean, who are the pitchers? Who's reporting in 25 days? It's just like, it's ridiculous. The Sixers are just a struggle to watch. I mean, obviously, everyone says we should have picked Tatum. I'm more like you. I was all over De'Aaron Fox. We needed a point guard that could score. That was the guy. I really don't know why we didn't just sit at three.
He may have conflicted with Simmons, so you probably couldn't take him.
Yeah. And then when it comes to I love the Flyers, but they got to gain some experience. They got a bunch of young guys. And then when it comes to the Eagles, would you agree this is probably Howie's most important offseason since the Super Bowl?
No question.
Yeah. I mean, everyone talks about getting the guys from the SEC. I really don't know why we had to interview a Pac-12 coach today. That's interesting. I didn't know that until you guys just said that. Speaking of wide receivers, Huggs out of Bama, if he's there at 21, Higgins out of Clemson.
Ruggs.
And then later in the
Henry
draft,
Ruggs the Ruggs, third, Ruggs, yes.
Ruggs. Mm-hmm. And then later in the draft, another wide out, kind of local kid from Glassboro, Juwan Johnson out of Oregon. I know it's a Pac-12 guy, but that guy performed on the highest levels at Penn State and Oregon. And he's a respectable athlete. I don't know if you've been seeing the bowl.
He was a bust. He was a bust at Penn State.
He performed well with Herbert.
He's on the list. I've seen him on the list. I think he's a little high pick for where the Eagles are going to pick.
Yeah, oh, definitely not first round. Yeah. Later in the draft, if he's still there, it's definitely a good pick. Yeah. Are you more on the defensive back side or the wide receiver?
I think they want to go wide receiver because there's gonna be a good one there. I don't think there's gonna be as many good cornerbacks there. The wide receivers, I think, are deeper in this draft than the corners.
I hear you.
Corners will be sucked up in the first 15 picks.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, brother.
Thanks, man.
You got it, man. Who's the starting staff? Nola, Wheeler, Arrieta, Eflin.
And then Velasquez or Pavetta. That's what it is.
Same old, same old.
Yep. And I could have lived with Eflin as the five. I actually think he's a good five, actually. Mm-hmm. If you look around baseball, based on what he did last year, can't live with him as a four and can't live with either one of those guys on the team. And it's probably going to be Pavetta because Velasquez showed he can pitch a little bit out of the bullpen. So you're going to be back with Pavetta again. I can't do it. Like, I can't do it. More Pavetta?
Get to the bullpen after this. Three spots nailed down, right? Neris or Anthony Morgan?
Yeah.
Who else? Who's the other one nailed down? There's four spots that are nailed down. Who am I missing?
Is there four?
Yeah, it's Morgan and another righty. We'll get the roster after this. All right, Mike Missinelli Show, 975thefanatic.com. 5K a day trying to give away $1,000. Also, Brian Westbrook at 4, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.